Now, tonight, we're going to be looking at Jeremiah chapter 29, and I've titled this for a series on hope, just giving you guys for summer camp, and doing hashtag I'm staying. Now, some of you would be aware, those who still do Facebook, I know the teens left Facebook the minute parents joined Facebook, but for those who do follow Facebook, you would notice a movement that started, and it's called hashtag I'm staying. And it's about stories of hope in our country. Sometimes a story of cross-cultural basis of coming across and supporting and helping each other. It's stories of people you wouldn't expect helping, like a Metro cop helping instead of writing a ticket. You know, these incredible stories that have been going on. And it's actually picked up quite a lot of traction and following. And I thought this is quite an interesting theme, because where we're living in the country is a time of turmoil. And I've got to be really honest with you. I've got a young kid. I've got a wife who's involved in a government school, in part of education. And seeing what's going on, it goes to that question that sits there, and I'm sure many of you have had that tonight. Should I stay or should I go? I have a sister that has applied for 65 jobs and only had 2 interviews. Should I stay or should I go? Nando's, I can only afford that once every 3 months. That's how bad the economy's gone. You know, I don't know if you've seen, I've lost weight. But we start to see this. We start to see the rise in crime, gender violence, the xenophobia, the strikes, the protests. So much that is going on and taking place. Hashtag, do I stay or do I go? And that's what we really start to wrestle with. And maybe you're there. Maybe you're coming to the end of varsity and saying, well, maybe it's my chance to go. And you're getting a lot of voices that are saying, hey, now's the time to leave. Maybe you're at the place in our conversations where it becomes the hot topic. If it's not about the rugby, we're talking about the country. We're talking about the new national health bill that's come here. The land appropriation bill that's in place. And we're talking about these things and we're just saying, what's going on? And it becomes part of our conversation. And we live in fear. Now, I remember as a country, we've gone through this many, many times. I remember being in primary school and going into high school in the turn of 94. And I remember how many of my friends' parents were leaving, selling businesses and houses and going. Because Nelson Mandela was going to come and he was going to kill all the whites. That was the lesson. Then we saw Jacob Zuma dancing, singing about a machine gun. And we saw the next exodus. And we saw so many of these different things happening. But at the same time, we have seen God work. We've seen a nation that became a lighthouse to the world in terms of reconciliation. I remember going to the UK and speaking to a bunch of UK thugs in a high school, not quite primary school. And they said to me, you can speak here, but you're not allowed to reference the Bible, Christ, or the church, or anything. But it has to be a biblical topic. No challenge. And they're a bunch of hooligans, and we're going to leave you in the room. Now, I've been to Paulsmore Prison to do ministry, don't worry. You know, just this fear, what do I speak on? So I spoke on the stories of South Africa and what God had done through forgiveness. In a hall that I told would probably not listen to me, you could hear a pin drop. Not because I was a great speaker, not at all. But simply because of something that seemed so foreign to the rest of the world. We were a lighthouse. And we have seen many, many things. But we sit at the next basis. We're told that out of the 12 professionals are leaving. And out of all the 12 professionals that leave, we are only gaining one professional back continuously. We're talking about mass immigration at the moment that's taking place in our country, and it is not one set of culture group that is going, but numerous cultural groups that are leaving. So what do we do in this time? How do we wrestle with the question that we have, am I staying or am I going? Well, I want to turn to God's Word. Jeremiah 29, and as we know, the incredible verse of it is verse 11. So if you can turn to your bumper stickers, coffee mugs, wall stickers, all of that for Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Amen. Don't you love that verse? Hey, I presume as you've gone to your Bible, it's already highlighted. Okay, it is in mine. We've sent this out so many times. And it is an incredible verse we can hold on to. But it's incredible to know the context of this verse. Because I feel that this is very relevant for us today. See, where were the people? Well, Judea, Israel had already fallen into captivity. But Judea, where Jerusalem was central and the city, they fell a number of years later. And they fell to the Babylonians because of their sinfulness. And we see three attacks that would have happened on Judea, on the Jews there. The first attack would have happened probably about 605 BC. And that's where we see selected people, including the king and the queen, and selected key players and probably officials would have been taken in to captivity, into exile, in living in Babylon. This is where we see Daniel would have been at this time. Now, in our letter, we see reference here. It's about the second attack that would have probably have happened, and that is in about 597 BC. And that's where guys that were skilled workers now were taken into Babylon. Basically, everyone that was skilled, everyone that was key, and just abandoning the poor and leaving the poor back in Jerusalem, in Judea. We see later on, 10 years later, that the temple and the walls of Jerusalem would have been destroyed later in this point. And we get this series of letters, all sorts going on here in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is writing to the people, probably writing from Jerusalem, sending out to the people a message of hope, but what God is saying. But there's a lot of false prophecy that's taking place. There's guys that are running around saying that we're going to be out of here in 2 years. Guys that are saying Tottenham's going to win this year. You know, it's so many lies that's taking place here. And this is going on. So much so that it's had an impact on the people that they haven't settled down in the land that God has carried them to. They're miserable. They're moaning, they're weeping. God, what's gone on? Where are you in this? God, look at our exiles. Look at where we're at. And they're feeling so distant from God. Well, how do they follow Him? How do they be obedient to Him? How do they make sacrifices to Him when the temple is all the way, not where they're at? How do they connect with Him? And so they're living in a false hope. God, this has got to end now. God, something's got to take place here. And the Babylonian nation, you only need to look at, was an incredibly evil generation. They would go in and consume cities. The idolatry that was taking place. Things that were far from what the Jews would do or practice. And here they're under their leadership. We don't want to be here. We don't want to be in this country. We don't connect with this country. We don't want to be involved. God, get us out of here. This is what they would be saying. And so Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, writes to them. Writes to the elders, as we told, who would have probably been to key leadership and key guys that would have gone through. And I want to pick up from verse 4, and it says this. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find your wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase the number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city for which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the dividers among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you have encouraged them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come for you and I will fulfill my good promise and will bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call me and come pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I'll bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and the places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place which I have carried you into exile. Lord, we thank you for your word and we pray that you would speak to us tonight. In your name, amen. Now, being on a sabbatical, I've forgotten how to structure sermons. So I've got 5 points instead of the Baptist 3 points. Forgive me for this. How do we respond to the call to go? Well, when we look to God's word, there's a number of key things here. Firstly, it's to submit to who God is. It's to submit to who God is. We see in two of the verses, it focuses on the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel here. This is what the Lord, verse 4, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel says to those I have carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. We see the Lord Almighty here. Well, this is so key because sometimes we lose sight of who God is. We forget who he is. And he reminds the people here of who he is. He's saying, I'm the Lord Almighty. The word here, Lord, is the Yahweh that means here. And Almighty, we start to see he is the God who is powerful, who is able, the God who has everything in control, the God who is no one is greater than. That's what he's saying here. Some of the translations will go and say, the Lord of heavenly hosts. Yeah. And when it turns around to hosts, the Lord of hosts, yeah, he's talking about a Lord who is in control of a mighty army. Mighty power. That's what it's talking about. So we serve a God who is all powerful. But he also calls God of Israel. This is the Elohim here. This is the covenant-making God, the covenant-keeping God. This is the relational God. This is the creator God that's here. That people are feeling so distant from him, saying, God, what is going on? And God is reminding, I am still your God. I am still the God who keeps my promises, my covenants here. I am the faithful God who is able to. So the God who knows us, but knows tomorrow. The God who nothing catches by surprise, but yet knows each every single one of us. That's the God we serve. See, when we in the country here, we lose kind of a focus. We lose a focus on what's going on and we tend to place our hope in politicians. We place our hope in the finances, in the stock markets. We place our hope in elections. We place our hope in so many different things. But tonight we are to place our hope in who God is. Have you lost sight of who God is? We need to get back to him. Back to worshiping him. Back to looking to him as our hope. The God who is faithful. The covenant keeping. The God who is all powerful. The God who is able. Now the people here are in a desperate time saying, God, we feel distant. How do we worship you in this foreign nation? And he reminds here, I carried you. Isn't that credible? That though in their sin it had led them into exile, he could have turned around and said, I sent you, but I've gone with you. For the people, they would have known God only in the holies of holies, in the most sacred places, but yet he is saying, I've carried you. Even in your sin, I am faithful. I am still working out my promise. I am still holding my covenant. God is still doing that. God is bigger than our economy. God is bigger than our politicians. God is bigger than that mass exam you have to go write soon. God is far bigger than any problem you face. We need to submit to who he is. It is about him and his glory. We look to him. The next point is to set up our house. Just to set up our house. Now those in exile wouldn't have liked to hear this. They would have been in a resting point here, going, you know, God, get us out of here. But what does God say? Verse 6, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters, increase their number there and do not decrease. When you're in somewhere temporary, you don't set up major plans. And here God is saying, marry. Get stuck in. You're going to be here for a long time. You're going to be able to see your kids who get married, having kids and seeing them getting married. This is what he's saying here. Set up those houses. Build something that's permanent here. For the people living on this hope that we're going to be out for 2 years. Saying, build something permanent. Something bigger here. Now this would have been incredibly horrible news for the Israelites. If you ever want to look, go look at Psalm 137. They write about this. They write about their time in Babylon. And it says, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept and we remembered Zion. On the populars we hung our harps, for there our captives asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of these songs, O Zion. So we can sing the songs to the Lord while in a foreign land. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. For if I not remember you, and if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy, remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did. On that day Jerusalem fell. Tear them down, they cried. Tear them down to its foundations, O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction. And God said, yeah, build your houses. Marry. Increase in this. Well, whereas God is saying increase in numbers, he's reminding them that the promise that he gave Abraham is theirs too. That they will be a great nation. Increase in numbers, do not decrease. Grow in this. Produce, farm the land, be involved in this. And he goes further. And this would have been the hardship for the people. It would have been easy to say, marry and do this. But verse 7 goes on, and also seek the peace and prosperity of the city for which I have carried you into exile. So seek peace and prosperity. You're amongst captives. You're amongst the people that you don't want to be amongst. And what's God saying is seek peace. Isn't that incredibly hard? And people that you despise and you almost would hate. And you've got this inside and God is saying seek peace. Seek to not just prosper. This is not a prosperity gospel here. This is talking about work hard, get involved and prosper so that they may prosper, because if they prosper, you prosper too. Get involved. It's talking about the welfare of the city. Be involved in the welfare of the city here. And not only do that, but pray to the Lord for it. Pray to the Lord for it. This was on Paul's heart. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 4. I urge you then, first of all, that all petitions and prayers, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. That is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I've got a confession here. What would God do if I prayed as much for our politicians as much as I moan about them? What would God do in our country if I prayed more about it than I did moan about it? What would happen? So he's talking through this verse. So South Africans, what do we do in our country? Well, firstly, we carry on. Because our hope is in God, we set up a permanent home. Our hope is in Him, trusting in Him in this. Anchored in Him. Because our citizenship is not here, but in heaven, where one day we will be. And so we cling to Him. Secondly, we look to the welfare of the city. Now, I realize that we have a problem with government. We have a problem with corruption. But I also believe we have a church problem. We have got an incredible opportunity as Christians like we've never had before in this country. We've got an incredible opportunity in our talk, in our conversations, to highlight the hope we have in Christ. Don't get caught up in the negativity. Guys are hungry for the good stories. Why has hashtag I'm staying grown so much? Let us be ready to give an answer for the hope we have. Let's watch our conversations. But let's also worry about the welfare. Let's get involved as Christians. It's messy, but let's get involved. God has placed Watercliffe Baptist in the area we're in for a reason. We have incredible amounts of embassies that are amongst us. God has placed us for a reason. How do we invest in the welfare of this city? I had the privilege on Wednesday night to have met the speaker of the city council. What an incredible woman she is. And got to chat to her a little bit, and I said, you know, I'm a pastor and I'd love to pray for you. And is there any chance you can send me some emails and I will pray for you? She said, Dan, I'd love for you to pray, and we have prayer meetings regularly. But you know what? I rely on God's wisdom. And so please be part of that. Be involved. Throw off some concepts and saying, hey, can we go and pray on the seats that our ward councillors sit on? Can we go pray for them? I know Mikhail's already said that he's keen to do that and go to the EFF section. Yeah. Are we going to stand back, watch our country in turmoil? Are we going to step up? Because I tell you what, there's incredible doors that are opening for us like never before. What's our talk? How are we looking to invest and sow in peace that is found in Christ? How are we looking to sow and display a hope that is anchored in Him? How are we looking to do that? And how are we praying for our city? So we're called to set up our house. It means anchoring in something else. God who is able to. God, I trust you. You've placed me here for a reason. What is that reason? Thirdly, stay clear of false promises. Stay clear of false promises. Verse 8. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The Lord of Israel says, do not let the prophets and the dividers among you deceive you. Do not listen to their dreams you encourage them to have. For they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. We start to see this. These guys that are sowing in false hope. They're saying dreams that you encourage them to have. You know what I've noticed? We tend to respond and react to news we want and stories we want, and we tend to run to those. We run to false hopes. We run to things that may give us a glimpse of other things, other hopes. And we run to all these things instead of looking to what God is calling and what God is saying here. See, I am not mocking here anyone that immigrates. I am not doing that. It is an incredibly tough decision. Nor am I saying to you, don't immigrate. What I'm saying is know that it's God's leading. Don't just look to something else as the hope. Look to Him. Make sure that it's anchored in who God is and what God is saying. Seek His glory first. Also, watch out, because at the moment there's so much false news out there. I follow quite a few accurate news sources and some police sources where I get some inside information. And it's interesting, I get some of these facts that come out, and then I watch how the media and social media gets caught on a different direction and starts to watch videos that are back from 2015, and it's labeled as if it happened today. Watch who you're listening to. Watch those who are finding the joy to create fear on both sides. Watch out for that. Let us be the voice of truth. Stay clear of that. Look to God's leading and stick to His word. Fourthly, we need to surrender to God's timing. We need to surrender to God's timing. Verse 11 should always be put on a coffee mug with verse 10 and verse 12 to give the context of it. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise and bring you back to this place. 70 years. That's not news you want to hear. I was grateful they made school 12 years. This is 70 years. This is a lifetime. What's God saying? Hey, you're suffering. Don't worry about it. It's only going to last a lifetime. Isn't that incredible news that our suffering only lasts a lifetime? That's as long as it can. Worst case scenario. We get to be in heaven with Him forever. There's a bigger picture. God has got something far bigger in store. And He's saying to them, here for the 70 years. But what we do now, in that 70 years, that generation is going to be investing in the next generation. Building into the next generation. How are we using those 70 years? What is the legacy we're leaving for the next generation? Building into. Verse 11 turns around and says, for I have the plans for you. You're going to stay there 70 years? For I've got bigger plans. I've got bigger plans than that two-year little false hope that you have. I've got bigger plans than your desire to go out back to Jerusalem, out of Babylon. I've got bigger plans for you, declares the Lord. Bigger than your plans. I've got a big perspective here. And God did. It wasn't just about restoring the people to Jerusalem, and He did. And we see them go back, and we see Nehemiah rebuilding the walls, and we see the temple being restored. We see that taking place. But God was not just talking about that. He was talking about salvation through Christ. I have the bigger plans for you. I'm going to send my Son to die for you. That temple you're looking at and desiring, I'm going to place my Spirit in yours because of Christ Jesus on the cross. I'm going to do something far bigger. And God is. He's at work for His kingdom. And we are to look to His kingdom in this times. Not a South African kingdom, but a kingdom based in Him for His glory, a capital K kingdom. But He says, yeah, the plans I have for you. This word you here is actually a plural word. It's not just a personal word. Saying, hey, Daniel, I've got plans for you. But it's, I've got plans for you, Watercliff. I've got plans for my church. I've got plans for my people. It's a positive basis here. I've got to use you. I'm placing you on a mission for you. I've got a plan for you. See, when we sometimes miss that, God has placed you here. He's placed you in that school. He's placed you in that university. He's placed you in that place of employment. He's placed you there for a reason. What is his plan? I have a plan for you. We see how his entire love declares the Lord. It's not just saying, it's declaring, it's announcing, it's proclaiming this. I have the plans for you. What kind of plans? Plans to prosper you. What? To use you. To make your ministry fruitful so that many come to know Jesus Christ, and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what God is calling to. There's absolute care and love in this. God has got plans. But we've got to surrender to his timing. It may mean 70 years in exile. It may mean things that we dream for, not seen. It may mean those things. But it means trusting in God and trusting his timing, no matter what. Lastly, we need to seek God with all our hearts. We need to seek God with all our hearts. Verse 12. Then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from a place of captivity, and I will gather you from the nations and from places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to a place for which I carried you into exile. See, we need to seek his mission. Seek what God is doing. We need to be saying, God, that use me. God, and I, not my just my desires and my fears and all this, but God, I surrender to you. God, I want to give you my all. I want to be used by you. I want to end by saying this, as part of this point and concluding the sermon, is that I'm grateful that the hashtag I'm staying movement has started. But I wish the church would pick up a statement that says this, hashtag I'm the change. May we stop waiting on others to fix the problems. May we stop just being the voice, but may we be the hands, the arms and the feet. May we be making an impact, for now is the time. There's an incredible opportunity to impact the city that God has placed us in. To impact the universities, works and schools in now. Incredible opportunity. But we need to surrender our hearts to him. We need to be saying, God, I want to follow you. I want your desires to be my own. I want to be used in that difference. God, I need to surrender my heart. I need to seek you with all my heart, because I want your agenda to be mine. May we start as a church, rather than the I'm staying, the hashtag I'm part of the change in this country. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that nothing catches you by surprise, that you are far greater. And we realize, and we're no fool to see that this country is in turmoil. And we would be blind if we didn't have fear. If we didn't have an uncertainty. Just wondering what's going on. But Lord, thank you that you're far bigger. Help us to look to you first. To know who you are. To seek you. And to be used by you. To see many come to know you. Not because of who we are, but because of the hope we have in you. Lord, I pray as a church and for the churches in our area that you would continue to open the doors and that we would be faithful in loving, caring, and sharing your word. So we pray this in your name. Amen.